Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Hey guys, well, today I've got a very spicy topic for us. Today is called 11 Common Myths on Demons and Deliverance. So depending which church background you grew up in, you'll understand some of these things that I'm talking about. Right, so let's get started. Well, we all know in the four Gospels and other places in the Word, it shows us that Jesus' ministry consisted of deliverance, as well as doing good, healing, and preaching. But often you'll find that in the modern Western church, there's lots of doing good, there's lots of Bible teaching, but there's hardly any healing, deliverance, or gospel preaching going on. But, you know, this was Jesus' ministry. This is what he always did when he was here physically. Acts 10:38 actually says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How's that scream? Yeah, Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So you see that he was anointed, he had the Holy Spirit with him, on him, in him, and he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And healing means to cure and heal and to make whole. So we can be made whole through deliverance. And Jesus, filled and anointed with the Spirit, he healed the sick, cast out demons, and preached the gospel, right? And that was his ministry. And it is ours today, because we have the same Holy Spirit and the same commission that came upon us, because Jesus has delegated it to us, as it says in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. So let's not ignore that demons exist and not ignore our need for deliverance or our assignment to cast out demons when it's needed. So due mostly to myths we have unknowingly embraced as truth, we've been robbed of seeking out training and even practicing deliverance. So we need to expose these myths to find the truth so we can be more effective in ministering to ourselves and others. Now, I've got 11 common myths here. I'm sure there's more than that, but we'll just go through 11 today very briefly. Number one, Christians can't have demons. We all come to Christ with baggage and existing past hurts and dark situations we've been in that we need to face if they're still affecting us today. So yes, we can have demons influencing our beliefs and our behavior. Like, have you ever lost control of your negative emotions, like total control? It just takes over you, it just overwhelms you. Have you ever been deeply suicidal, bitter, or in a rage, for example? They're all hurts, baggage, and bondage to address, and sometimes that's where deliverance is needed. And we all know that demons are all liars and can only lie, and their job is to deceive us. Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in him, it says that in John 8:44. So if you believe and embrace the deception in your heart, you invite demons to keep lying to you. And demons are legalistic. If you accept lies, you accept demonic influence until you repent by rejecting the lies and aligning with truth. And the second myth is this: deliverance will solve all my character flaws. No, deliverance doesn't do that, because deliverance sets you free from the demonic power, but character building is on you to do. It's your job to renew your mind and live out new habits, walking daily with God. You can cast out a demon, but you can't cast out immature character or the flesh. Deliverance will remove all my struggles. Deliverance removes the demonic power struggle. The demon and its power leaves you when it's cast out, so that you are free to access Holy Spirit's power to renew your mind and to have the strength to form new habits, to live out your new life, and to go through your struggles. The Lord invites you to journey with him, to lean on him, to trust in him more, and to grow in character more from facing your battles and struggles. Number four, if you do deliverance, you'll be under attack. Yes, you can be attacked if you have openings or unrepented sin in your life and you don't know what you're doing. You are protected if you are knowingly free of sin and of wrong beliefs, and you know your authority in Christ. So that's very important. By the way, you do build more authority as you practice deliverance and you see the fruits of that. You do grow in confidence as well. You can get demons by watching deliverance. You fear what you don't know. So grow in gaining wisdom, knowledge, and truth. So you might come under the influence of demons if you readily embrace their lies or if it triggers in you something that's already in you. This is an open door for demons. If you feel something is off after watching a deliverance session, break off the power of the demonic afterwards and spend time with the Lord to recharge, a reset, renew, and self-reflect. And that's very, very important. The sixth myth. Demons are attacking me. I'm totally helpless. Now, this might be the cry of a powerless victim mindset. You are not helpless. You always have a choice. It is the lies that you are embracing that's keeping you in powerlessness. If you believe a lie, you give it access. Know that being loyal to King lies and misbeliefs will place your mind and emotions under attack. So choose to trace, face, and replace with the truth, and the demons will flee because they've been exposed. Remember, light exposes the darkness, and light expels the darkness. Number seven, deliverance automatically brings healing and renewing of the mind. So sometimes people want relief, as in quick fixes. And this is a thing that the mindset that we can develop, that deliverance is a quick fix. Oh, if I get delivered, if I cast out these demons, my life will be instantly better and I'll just don't have to do anything else. Well, with quick fixes, you don't have to pay the price for change, which is repentance. So trading in short-term pain for long-term gain, that's what's needed. Sometimes instant healing and freedom does result from deliverance, but often deeper healing is a journey. It takes time because there are many layers, for example, of trauma to deal with. There's also limbic lag and mind renewal work to do. So that takes time and mental and emotional energy and effort. Change does take effort. It takes a choice, it takes effort, it takes time. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. Number eight, speaking to demons during deliverance is okay. Now there's a method that is going around or that has been around that you force demons to speak the truth to you in Jesus' name or something like that. I read about it, but I can't get into the details now. And I would say this is dangerous. If you listen to demons, you will hear lies from demons. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will receive truth from the Holy Spirit. Which one do you want to receive from, hear from? Do not converse with demons. They speak half-truths and lies only. How do you rely on them to be truthful? It's not safe and can lead you down the wrong path. So demons seek to draw you into their lies and stop or delay deliverance. That's their goal. But it's always safe to listen to the Holy Spirit. He might remind you of the Word of God. He will speak into you something that's really specific and true. So in these instances, you might want to pause and counsel the person, and they might not be ready yet for deliverance until they're fully persuaded in their heart with the exact truth that they need. Knowing the truth and holding to it sets us free. Number 9, demons can possess a person. For non-Christians, demons can possess you if you do completely yield or surrender to their deception. As an example, because you've been deeply traumatized, hurt or abandoned, you find your worth in gaining more power and control. For example, you might yield to witchcraft, Satanism, or the occult, to very dark stuff, which gives you certain power, but it's a demonic, deceptive power, and you become trapped and enslaved to that. For Christians, if you willfully harden your heart and choose to reject the Holy Spirit, blaspheme, and switch your loyalty very intentionally over to Satan, you will get possessed and be totally consumed by the demonic spirits. Because you invite them in, you choose to do so, to be loyal to them. So guess where you will spend eternity. That's very sobering, isn't it? Number 10, a demonic manifestation is a sign of a successful deliverance, and all demons manifest when they leave. Do you look for signs of demons leaving, and then when you see it, you believe they've left? Well, not all demons manifest, express themselves physically. And even if they manifest, that doesn't mean the person has been delivered. You can command demons to leave quietly. So what we want to aim for is repentance and not manifestation. If there's manifestation but no deliverance, then stop and ask the person, like, what is going on in your mind right now? And what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to these lies? What are these lies? And also, do they need to confess and repent of something? And the other thing is that people can and do put on acts to get attention. And they can get overly emotional, maybe, yeah, to get attention, or pretend to please others, others praying or watching them. So beware of this. Teach them about deliverance and what might happen afterward. If you're in a meeting and one person starts to manifest, speak to them quietly to move to another room, and you take along another person with you to counsel and pray for them. Don't let the people in your meeting be distracted or hijacked, because sometimes that can happen when one person manifests and all the attention goes to them because they're maybe wailing and crying really loudly, or there's, you know, very loud and very expressive expressions, and everyone's looking, what's happening? You know, so you want to do that. You want to quietly help them go, take with them to another room with another person that you minister with, and you want to help them there separately. Number 11, the last myth, which I think you can think of more. I can't do deliverance on myself. I need a pastor or a strong leader to do it. You can do deliverance on yourself. All believers can, because you know the word of God, you know the authority you have in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and are self-aware of the assumptions, lies, or misbeliefs operating in your life. And this is key too. It is one thing to know the word of God, to know the scriptures, to know your authority. But if you're not self-aware of the assumptions or lies or misbeliefs that are affecting you, then you won't consider deliverance. When you repent, when you actually align your mind with the truth, then the demons will flee, or you can command them to leave you. So either they flee when you realize, or you come to a realization that this is the truth that you're embracing now, and they just go, or you can command them to leave. Ideally, when you minister to someone, you want to minister with another person and who's at the same authority and experience level as you. Well, they need to understand what you're doing, what they're doing. And the other thing is, opposite sexes ministering one-to-one isn't recommended or wise. And also, please apply child protection guidelines for youth aged 18 and under. And just one final thing, for complex trauma, which is long-term, multiple and repeated exposure to harmful events, say a child growing up in a household of abuse and violence for many years, and similar things that happen like that, you'll want to work through those layers of pain. And I do recommend to go to therapy, to counselling, and according to the advice of medical or mental health professionals, you may take medication as well. So, yeah, there we have it. Those are 11 common myths on demons and deliverance. I hope you're more clearer now about how demons and deliverance operates. And these are just myths, so it's not a complete teaching. And I'd encourage you to seek out more training and teaching, and you know, hang around people who've experienced in this area and go and see them and you know, learn from them and maybe go alongside with them to healing and deliverance sessions. And the important thing is to put into practice what you know, because actually it's really fun and satisfying to see people healed and set free, because our God is a good God and He wants us whole. The word heal means to make whole. He wants to make our minds whole. He wants to make our soul whole. Yeah. So, all right. Now we're going to move on to some discussion questions. You can use these questions if you want. Do I believe in any of these myths? Why or why not? Share on an experience you had with deliverance and the fruits you saw from that. And what's your view on healing and deliverance for mental and emotional health issues? So to add to that, what's my view on healing and deliverance for mental and emotional health issues? Healing and deliverance is one of the tools that we can use for mental and emotional health issues. There are other tools that we can use, but just don't think that deliverance is the only solution for mental and emotional health issues. When something bothers someone so much, just don't think it's deliverance. However, if you only have one tool that you know of, deliverance, then everything else looks like a demon, doesn't it? So you don't want just one tool in your hand, because people come with a whole myriad of problems. We all have different paths. We all have different hurts and levels of pain to face and to work through. And I think the important thing is knowing how to process your pain, know how to face your past and get the right tools and equipping and get the right training, and also see professionals if you need to.